Let's take a moment and pray.
Would you pray over us,
brother?
Pastor Jimmy?
I would be please. Honored to pray, thank blessed you. To pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we invoke the name of Christ. And as we do, we know that we are standing in the presence of the holiest God of all, the holiest of all beings ever, you in your presence. And we're thankful that when we invoke the name of Jesus, all of heaven releases authority into this place and this space. Father, today, as Adam and I talk, what a privilege it is as friends, as brothers, as partners in the kingdom, to be able to just have a conversation. And Lord, we trust you to guide it wherever you want it to go. Yes. Our heart is that when people listen, they'll find themselves involved, engaged, and inspired, and encouraged, and lifted up. Because it really is our heart, is to help people live up in a down world, tough world. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to lead us, and we just want to follow you wherever you take us. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And all God's people said, amen.
All God's people said.
Here we go.
Don't get down when you're seeing the worst, because the last will be first. What a day, I'm telling you. All things will be new.
This is Jimmy and not Annette today, Dame Annette, as we say. She is at home watching guys rebuild our entire kitchen, which has been absolutely destroyed.
Oh, man. Prayers up for Dame Annette. Prayers
up. I'm telling
up.
You, it's been an experience, but good news, we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel. I want to welcome my best friend. That's the most important title you have. You got others, but that's the one that matters the most to me. My best friend,
thank you, brother.
Adam Curry. Also known as, a.k.a., we could start a list here.
Yeah, the dude with the hair.
Yeah.
MTV guy.
The hoodie king.
The hoodie king. Fetterman's brother.
What are you wearing today, brother?
This is my...
I like that.
Yes, my Ephesians whole armor of God sweatshirt.
I like that one.
I've worn this one a couple of times through airports, and this is the one I get... I love wearing Jesus on my chest one way or the other. And this is the one I get the most comments on. You'll have like TSA guys and just people randomly like, hey, I love that hoodie,
no
brother.
Kidding.
I love that.
Yeah. TSA brothers, man.
Oh, yeah.
They love Jesus.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them do.
A lot of them do. I get feedback from those guys.
Yeah. That was like a very professional start, by the way. Are you sure you haven't been a DJ in a past life? That was good.
Wannabe. Wannabe. I'm going to school on the king here.
Yeah, that was good, man.
That was fun. This is fun. I've wanted to do this for a long time.
Yes.
And we're both like running helter-skelter in our lives. And we'll go, when we get a moment, let's do it next week. And then you look up and a month's gone, a year's gone. And I just said, okay, Adam, let's get together this
time.
Week.
It's time, yes.
Damonette is busy.
Tina's busy. I think they're doing something together as well today.
Actually, I'm getting directions as we speak.
Yes.
I was going to bring her some lunch home. She says, no, I think we're going to go. And so, I don't know.
I got a grocery list, like, hey, after your thing with your buddy there, could you go do some shopping? Say, you bet.
I love doing it. Glad to do it. We live to do this.
Yes, we do.
We get to do this, yes.
Yeah. But people have to understand that we became really good friends, best friends, a while ago now, and that we text each other every single morning, sometimes a couple times during the day. And I got to tell you, I've never had a friendship like that. Maybe the friends I had as a kid, we didn't have phones, so we couldn't be texting
the
like that.
Walkie-talkie had to be within 800 feet of each other, right?
But I really enjoy it. I really do. You lift me up. I think I lift you up, and we lift each other up together. And the influences you've had on me are just astronomical. It's astronomical.
It works both ways, brother. I mean, iron sharpens iron.
Yep, iron sharpens iron.
That's what the Word of God tells us. And I feel like our friendship is just an example of what that looks like.
Amen.
And I love that we have, God brought us together for such a time as this. Kind of one of those unexpected surprises.
You think?
You know what's crazy? Okay. So everybody says things to me like, oh, I know you got so many people you're dealing with. I know you got so many friends. So I don't want to encroach on your space. Mm-hmm. I'm going, no, I really don't, actually. Busy with people? Yeah. But that's different than having a high-level friendship.
Well, this is exactly where our lives have run in parallel in show business, that is exactly the same thing people think. You must have so many friends, so many people. Meanwhile, you're kind of sitting at home a little bit secluded, and you don't really know who your friend is. You're
binge watching Netflix because you got nobody to hang out
yeah,
with.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what am I going to do? So yeah, it's, you know, we've had a lot, it's interesting how we've had those parallels. In fact, our origin story, if you don't mind me telling it, is now Tina first came to the church and I'd been watching online, and then through a whole bunch of, God move people, you connected with her, and, we had you guys over to dinner. I think we went out to Crossroads
first,
maybe.
We went out to Crossroads. Yeah. Great place. And what a cool first time.
And I thought it was at home that I first said that, but Tina says it was at Crossroads. And as you know, 'cause I'd only been watching online, I'd only been seeing the YouTube version of the message. And you know, I blurted out like, "Man, I love your show," and I saw Tina's face go.
She frogged your arm or something.
Tina like froze, like, "Oh my goodness, what did he just say?" But I saw in your face the realization, like, "Well, yeah, I guess it is kind of a show," and that was such an icebreaker, which just kind of flooped out of my mouth, and it was just it gave me a lot of insight into what you do. And of course the things you say, I mean, oh man, there's just so much that is swimming around my head all day long. I mean, I find my mouth opening on my podcast and like, oh, there's Pastor Jimmy just slipped out. What's going on here?
Brother, that works both ways. That's what our friendship's about. Really. There's this give and take partnership and you find each other. I mean, it's almost like you're back in junior high, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're wearing Converse high tops. Well, I need to get some. I mean, there's that thing. And we even take that into adulthood. It's not as intentional when you're in junior high. It's on purpose. Like, oh, I got to get those glasses. Oh, I got to get that shirt. When you're an adult, you sort of gravitate towards common thinking, language, conversations, and it brings up things. Then you got those commonalities. And because you do, when you talk about them, they get stronger.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, you're saying something on one of your shows.
Yeah.
I'm saying something on my Sunday morning shows, you know, and it's
shows.
And as I'm doing it, I'll glance down at you because I go, I know I just said something from you. I mean, that was from you.
And I'll be like, nice.
I know, we're just laughing, right?
Nice.
Like,
yeah.
What do you do? What do you say? Just own it. Own
well,
it.
Well, that's the literal definition to me of Proverbs 27:17. Yeah, yeah. Iron sharpens iron. That's exactly it. So, sharpens a friend.
Yeah, I love the back half of that verse. So a friend sharpens a friend. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we do. And that means through thick and thin, through hard times, easy times, man, the highs and the lows. And that's the thing. No matter what is going on in our lives, I know you're going to be there. I know I could call you at any time. I have no qualms about that, no hesitancy. And
vice versa.
And you know what I appreciate, Adam, about this is that our friendship is really apart from what we do. I mean, obviously, it's going to be interwoven in the fabric of who we are in terms of our identity and all that. But I just like you. Yeah. What happened that first time you said, man, you got a great show, and Tina's dying 1,000 deaths, Annette's cracking up, I'm laughing out loud, and I literally thought to myself, we're going to be best friends. I mean, I need this guy in my life. I need somebody who has a sense of humor, and I would say you had a little more edge to your vocabulary back then, just
yes.
a little bit.
Yeah, I would say there
didn't
was
didn't scare me one bit.
And you were very less. You were very gracious about that, because, you know, it was just so normal for me to be cussing and dropping F-bombs. That was it was just normal. And by the way, it's been very easy for me to get rid of that.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly that went. I mean, just I'm like, wow, you know.
There was nothing in me that said, oh, I've got to get him to stop saying that.
Yeah,
well, there's nothing there. One of the things that's, I guess, childlike about me is that I trust Jesus in other people. So I saw that something was working. After our first conversation, which was God, the World, and Other Things, volume 1,
yes.
1.0, and then it became point, you know, I mean, we've had a million aberrations since then. But in that conversation, even though I knew you hadn't quite taken the full leap, I was like, this brother is so there. God's so working. I knew it after our first conversation, because we did. We sat. Mm-hmm. If you remember, we're at Crossroads. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool place. We're down in the dungeon area.
Yep.
This nice, kind of secluded. And Annette and Tina are on one end of the table, and they're going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You and I are on the other end. We're going 100 miles an hour, and we're just talking about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so – I left just so invigorated going, I've not had an enjoyable, life-giving, fun, thought-provoking conversation like that in a long time.
Well, ditto.
I need that guy in my life. Mm-hmm. I need more time.
I mean, but I have not had a lot of male friends in general. I mean, you talk about high school. I was the outcast. I was kind of the loser. I didn't have the right Converse. I had the wrong hair. I was gawky. You know, I got weird tics. You know, it was like, no, this guy is an outcast. Interestingly, I was doing pirate radio at the time, and I had a whole different persona on the radio.
And by the way, this wasn't West Texas where you grew up.
No.
There may be somebody who doesn't know this.
I'm sorry. Good point. This is Amsterdam, the Netherlands, where I did grow up, moved there when I was 7 years old. And so I was doing pirate radio on Saturday nights. And it was kind of interesting because I was, you know, 16. I drove a moped. We didn't have – you can't have a license till you're 18 in most countries in Europe.
Man, that is as cool as it gets, brother.
Well, and, you know, and I had the wrong moped, believe me. I had the wrong bike. But I'd go in there, and for some reason, I'd do the show in English, which was good for an international type vibe in Amsterdam is really very accepted. And people somehow got this feeling that I was much older. And for some reason, like, you know, I remember someone saying, wow, man, it's so cool. You got a black American on the station. I'm like, that's it. I'm just going to be John Holden, the big black guy who drives a Harley. And I built this whole persona around it. And once the kids at school found out that that was me, things changed. But it also changed in exactly what I was saying, like, you know, oh, well, you know, people wouldn't even approach me then. It was so odd. And so I grew up around women, my sisters, my mom, obviously my wife. I have two stepdaughters. I have a daughter. So it's always been women around me in general. So I just haven't had a lot of exposure to that. And so that has been the most life-giving to me is having a male friendship, a best friend. Thank you, God. And it's all I can say.
Yeah.
He's taking care of me in that regard.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
What's interesting, too, is that most couples, you'll have like the two wives are best friends, and then the guys tolerate each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, there is a lot of that.
Get drugged to all these vacations or whatever. Yeah. You're getting drugged to all these events. And it's not like you have a dislike. It's just y'all don't have a lot. There's just not that connection there, that chemistry.
Yeah.
And
it's uncommon for sure.
It works both ways. So, but for men struggle more at having what we'd call an iron sharpens iron relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, first of all, we're out conquering the world. We're out doing what we do. So we're very busy in those terms. And so a lot of times friendships don't go real deep because friendships have to be intentional.
Yeah.
You have to work
at it
just like anything. You got to be there. I appreciated one day you were doing your No Agenda show, which is three and a half hours, two mm-hmm. times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long day for you.
It's a long day.
And I was like, I wanted to say something to him, but then I was like, no, wait, he's got his show going. And I remember you saying to me one time, you said, I will always answer a text for you, even on show day.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I don't take advantage of that because I know you're busy, you're in the flow, I'm not going to mess with that. And it'd be rare that I would have to do that. But man, just knowing that you would break stride in the middle of what you do
absolutely.
To just say, oh, that's Jimmy, I better just bump him something back or give him an X or something.
Yeah.
Swords, you know.
Yeah, like cross emoji, swords, our emoji of the year.
Yeah, iron sharpens iron, but I really just appreciate that. But also what I saw in you, let's go back to where we started, because mm-hmm. what I saw in you that made me realize I want to be around him more. And I'll be real frank with you. It had nothing to do with your persona in terms of Adam, the Podfather Curry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you'll remember, I was like, what's podcasting back then? I mean, I was like going, what?
Oh, that's interesting.
The podcast.
Yeah. What?
I got an Apple app. Yeah, your favorite. Yeah. Spotify. And so I was like, so that wasn't a draw. The MTV thing was, I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but I thought, well, he wasn't even a real musician. So I mean, I'm a guitar player. So I'm like, you don't hang out with a non-musician. So it wasn't anything about that. It was when I met you and started, you were sharing stories about your family.
Mm.
And growing up in Amsterdam or Holland, mm-hmm. you know, in the village.
Yes.
But you were telling me things that your parents had poured into you or your grandparents.
Yes.
And And I begin to realize this guy has a public persona and he's got a history in that celebrity, if you will. But what I saw was your heart for people and how you treated the guy who does your lawn and the guy who does the pool.
Sure.
And Mike.
Yes.
You know? Man, what a cool story. But I begin to see how you genuinely love people.
I do.
And it doesn't matter where they're from. Yes. Doesn't matter their background. In fact, you almost intentionally go further into people that need a lift.
Yeah, I guess so.
And brother, that just, once I saw that, I trusted that. And I was like, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to quit trying to be
I'm
Pastor
glad.
Jimmy. I'm just going to be Jimmy.
I'm glad.
So you're getting the real deal, good or bad. You're getting the real thing.
I know. Well, I've had the advantage of having been on a very different path. And a very different path of extreme fame. Actually, I was much richer, much wealthier in monetary terms before. And I had seen all of the darkness and everything that comes with that. And I had long before, I mean, I had several experiences. And because of our conversations and just because of being in the Word and coming to church, I realized that God had been working in me much, much longer. And the main one was, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough to worry for itself. And that came to me in the 90s when I was going through a real crisis, and I just gave up and said, I'm not going to worry about this stuff. And right away, I saw things turn around. I mean, I was also a disciple, in a way, of Anthony Robbins. He had the Power Talk tapes. Yep. And I knew inherently that you can change, because that's his whole thing.
And there were some principles there.
Yes.
That I'm pretty sure I know where he drew a lot of his material from.
For sure. Right? I think he may be a believer.
Yeah,
I
mean, Ziegler and all those guys, you know, they were pulling in these great principles. But when you break them down, you go, wait a minute, that was written 2,000 years ago.
Exactly.
Plus. So, yeah.
And I keep bumping into that. And so really, it's just what you can do inside and where you can focus yourself on. And of course, if you focus on God, then, and if you and focus on Jesus, then all these things just come together. And on one hand, I'm like, oh man, why am I discovering this now? Why didn't I know this 20, 30 years ago? But on the other hand, I am so invigorated. I've got so much more to do. I'm not thinking about, you know, retiring or slowing down. It's like,
man,
no,
I'm with you there, brother.
Yeah.
It's too much to do.
As you would say, running through the tape. You know, we've got a lot to do. Absolutely. Oh,
and it just gets better, because the older we get to bring with us our collective experience and our learnings, our life learnings. And it actually throws you into a new category of when some people are thinking about retiring. I mean, I just turned 63. I mean, that's getting up there, right? But when some of my friends are already getting out of the game and stopping, and they're buying their RV and getting ready to tour the country, I'm like, why would you stop now? I feel like I'm just now legitimate in life as a human being or a man.
Exactly.
Because I've lived long enough to have a lot of experience. And so to me, it's like, could be the best of times when you get this age and now you've got something to say. And it's becoming your voice instead of all the thousands of voices that have influenced and impacted you.
So right.
You now have something to say.
So right.
And boy, how fun does that get? I wake up early every morning. Of course, Mr. Chevy woke me up at 5:30 this morning.
That's what he does.
Standing up in bed, I'm going, what are you doing?
People have to see how this dog does this.
He stands up on his haunches and he just sits there, and he'll sit there for an hour. And I'm being stared at.
Does he pant as well?
Well, if it's hot outside, he will. But like in the morning, you feel like you're being watched, and you roll over and he's standing there in bed, strange.
Watching you.
At 5:30. I was planning on sleeping about 20 more minutes, but I'll just let it go. But anyway, I have no idea why I got off on that little story. I just did one of those click things. But
about getting up early.
Yeah, getting up and just having this joy, this excitement. And I say it a billion times a day, we get to do this. I get to do this. I'm stumbling in. So at 63 years of age, when you first get out of bed, things aren't working exactly right. I mean, snap, crackle, pop. I mean, it's not just the Rice Krispies treat thing. I mean, this is like your joints, your injuries, you know, everything you've done to your body through the years lets you know for about the first 2 minutes. But by the time I get through the house to the coffee pot, I've turned on my little box heater in my room because that wants to stay cold. So I turn my little heater on, and I'm making my way into the coffee machine and to take care of Mr. Chevy, let him do his deal. It's like my body just, and I feel young again.
Yeah.
I feel fire again. I feel I can't wait to get started.
Well, that's it. It's the fire. I mean, there's not a day that I don't wake. I really never wake up in a bad mood, not on the wrong side of the bed. I mean, of course, things do happen, but I awaken in the morning. The first thing, there's always a worship song in my head. And today it was like, come to the altar.
And I'm like,
that's right. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Abba. And that's before my feet are out of bed. And that gets me started. And I'm like, God, I can't wait for you to show me where I'm going today. Even though I may have a calendar, and we all know that man makes the plans, but God's going to...
Well, we have an agenda, then we have a to-do list from our girls.
That's divine. To-do list will get done.
All works
God
together.
Always makes time for it. But I'm genuinely excited to see what's going to happen. Even on those days when I have a really busy schedule, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to fit all this in. Lord, if it's your will, you'll make it fit. And he does. And things change and things fit together. And I just put my trust out there, which is new for me because I used to get definitely a little spun up, certainly internally, about, I got to do this, I got to that, got to move around, how am I going to do this, all these things. And when you are able to let go of that, man, does the world change. And then you have time to be excited about what's coming.
I've watched you on this journey. I've watched you grow. And man, I would say for you, Adam, truly, and Tina both, y'all have had an acceleration. And I believe that God's doing that in this season. Mm-hmm. I think there's a need for people to grow quickly. You look at Russell Brand. I mean, the dude's just like flame. He's on fire. Mm-hmm. But what I'm seeing is with a lot of people, not just celebrities, but just people in general, there's a real acceleration right now.
It's my word for this year.
It is your word. That's right.
My word.
Accelerate. I love that.
Yep.
And man, so things are happening quickly, and they're happening like intensely. And it's just like the season we're in. I mean, even just from the election, I want to just dive too deep in those weeds. But, 6 months ago, we were like, we could be seeing the end of an era. I mean, Rick Green saying that from our platform.
Yeah, end of an empire.
End of an empire. Mm-hmm. And it was like, whoa. I mean, that was a scary thought right there. And then all of a sudden, acceleration, season of reveal happens.
This is my favorite season of reveal.
It's still happening. I mean, it's just increasing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we could step off in that a little bit. But, I opened my news feed, and it's full of the Doge stuff, right?
Yeah.
The DOGE of what all the expenses are and what they're cutting. And I'm just like, they very well could get us out of debt.
Oh, I think, yes. Certainly balance the deficit
closer,
on an annual basis.
Yes.
So Season of Reveal, which is something that came to me maybe a year ago.
About a year ago, we started talking about it.
Which I was mocked for by my podcast partner. Although now he's saying, yeah, I've been saying that all along. I say, okay, all right, brother. It's important, I think, that when these things take place, that we look at them not from an ideological or political perspective. As you have said over and over again, we don't have a political problem. We have a spiritual problem. So the people that have spent money recklessly, put them into very odd programs, they aren't bad people. There was no light. So the darkness took over and has been going on since 1973, at least when it comes to the financial part of our country. And so when you open your news feed, I'm not saying it to you, but perhaps to the listeners, and in general, I'm trying to portray this, be careful not to be stomping on the libs or anything like that, or the crazy LGBTQs, because these people have been consumed by darkness, by dark forces, very dark spiritual forces, reinforced by humans on Earth, and all for financial and political gain. This is what's going to start coming out more and more. As I have discovered just recently, the LGBTQ agenda was not really ideological. It was, it's very cynical, but the number one, it's psychological operations or fifth generation warfare, whatever you want to call it, is always done with PSYOP, psychological operations. The best way to control people's minds is to make them think of the children. So when you go out and say, if this child doesn't have some horrible operation, that child is going to kill itself. This flips a switch in our human, in our reptile brains, and we're like, oh, we have to protect that at all cost. And that has been abused over and over again. It's not just America. If you ask around Europe, do you have a transvestite story hour? Yeah, we got that here. That is a specific operation to garner support. That was the T part. Then you add the Q, which means anybody can be a Q. Oh, I'm queer. I'm weird. So they can bring in more groups. Maybe you have anarchistic feelings. Maybe, you know, maybe you're just feeling as a you're left out, you don't feel part of it. Mm-hmm. They bring those groups together to use them to form demonstrations, very similar to Black Lives Matter, etc. What happened is the greed of Wall Street in particular, they went, oh, this is great. We can now control and make money off of this by forcing corporations to do this. And it got to a point, and God, thank you for America and our Bill of Rights and our right to free speech and even our right to bear arms, which backs up the First Amendment in my mind, that we were able to say, no, stop. Now I'm being discriminated against. I'm not getting a job. And I know how many Navy and Army Air Force pilots I know who can't get a job at an airline. And on and on and on.
How many white 45-year-olds can't get a job right now?
And not just white because men, but also white women. I mean, yes. All kinds of stuff. And so we, of course, also voted with our wallets by saying, okay, Tractor Supply, we're not gonna go that way. And so that did shift something. And then you have the most unlikely guy in the world, as Jesus loved all the misfits. And like you were talking on Sunday about Saul becoming Paul, you know, the greedy, in a way, deviant, crazy guy from New York, and God just took him and went, you had a good little test the first time, but now, you know, let me just really bring you to me. And I truly believe that, you know, when he says, I think God saved me to help, you know, fix America or make America great again, I think he's genuine. I'm not sure where he is, but it's coming out of his mouth, and what the heart is full of, you know, drips right, you know, spews out of the mouth. And that is what is happening right here. So I'm always a little apprehensive, you know, and like, I can't believe USAID was funding trans dance parties in Georgia, in the country Georgia. Well, it was being done for a reason and not ideological. So when we can get past that, we can start to love the people, because there's so much hate going on right now.
No kidding.
Or yeah. I told you so, or now it's right, us. And that's right. What we got to be careful of. And I thank God for our Bill of Rights, because if you look at the United Kingdom, exactly the same thing went on, but they don't have – there's literally no freedom of speech right the way
they
we have it.
A rule of law like we have to follow, something to go back to.
I mean, they have some things in there, but no, they don't have a piece of paper they can hold up the way we can.
The receipts.
And so it's gone to a level where they've said, if you hurt somebody's feelings on Facebook, you'll get arrested. So, and we got to pray for them too, because I mean, this, what is happening here is just the beginning of what's happening globally. And I believe that to truly be a third great awakening, and all the signs are there, mainly that we don't know, you don't know when you're in it, as you've, you know, we discussed this a lot, like they didn't know they were in a great awakening when that took place. I watched the Super Bowl. I see the head coach and the quarterback. First thing out of their mouths, you just won. Thank God, God is good. Both of them, first thing they said, I'm like, hallelujah. I mean, all of these things are happening globally. And that's what I feel we need to focus on, and not too much focus on, yeah, we got that out. You know, we stopped those evil people. No, no, it's the spiritual realm where these battles are taking place. And I find it's easier to ask someone, instead of like, do you believe in God? You know, Jesus, you know, instead of doing that, just say, well, do you think there's good and evil in the world? That's such a great place to start. And people can mentally, with their intelligence, can just go to that and say, yeah, that feels like there's forces. So that's why I'm real careful about, you know, and trying to use my own words and my own platforms to inform people about this. This is a great, great travesty and tragedy that has been propagated over our country, but the rest of the world. And this awakening that is taking place is a beautiful thing. We do, as you would say, we have limited time, so we can't just sit around and watch it on our news feeds.
Brother, that was so wow. That was loaded.
This is my I'm practicing now for other things
that
I'm doing in the future.
Very loaded, brother. Man, there were so many things you hit on. I was reminded while you were talking, and you'll appreciate this because it's somebody we both know and love, but Bill Loveless would say we need to see people in 3D.
Yeah. Yes.
Where, so like when you get these news feeds and they're all, you know, poor influencers are trying to dig, you know, trying to turn over rocks so they have something to talk about right now. And so they do, they find it, they create it, and they create this drama and everything. And everybody got to live spun up and hyper, you know, vigilant, and living at a 9.5 and a 10 life. And so we've got that going on, but I love, and I always hear Bill talking about this, saying that we've got to see people in 3D, which means we've got to step around to the side and get a different perspective. Mm-hmm. There's more to a person than just what you're reading on a flat screen in front of you. Or even talking at them and just seeing them from the front and taking them, as we use literally, face value, because our face is right there. But not taking things at face value, but actually going deeper and going behind the scene, behind the person. There's something behind that, driving that. Let's address what's driving instead of the messenger, the person. Yes. Don't shoot the messenger, the old cliche. But so there's always something going on, and that's what we have to actually use a spiritual gift that's called the discerning of spirits. Mm-hmm. Let's discern the spirit behind that.
Discerning of spirits.
That's what it is. It's what it is. It's one of the manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say, well, I have the gift of discernment. And I'm like, whoa, well, finish what it – if you're talking biblically, you need to finish the sentence, finish the verse. It's actually the discerning of spirits, the ability to distinguish between what spirit is driving that particular behavior, situation, or circumstance. And so that's seeing people in 3D, where we get around, we see what's behind them, and as soon as you do, when you begin to discern a spirit that's working, you move from contempt for that person, for that person that's in front of you, to compassion.
Yeah.
Contempt to compassion. We should be operating in that even as we pull up our feed. I don't do Rumble or Truth Social, any of that, because I stay spun up enough with Instagram. So I don't have to do all that. But as we load those feeds into our computer screen or our phone or tablet or whatever, we need to immediately move into the place of discerning of spirits and say, Holy Spirit, help me see what's behind this. Because you'll read, a lot of them just repost the same thing. Oh, all right, my buddy Kirk, you know, did that, so I'm going to do it. And then, you know, Bongino did that, I'm going to do that. You know, so they all grab the same stuff. But at some point, you got to say, what's behind that?
Yes.
What's behind it? Okay, they're reporting some of it's true. There's truth there. But there's also maybe a spirit behind it that's trying to create division.
I don't even think maybe.
And I mean, I'm being nice. Broaden the gap. I mean, just create this chasm between people where now the pendulum swings from one side winning to the other side winning. And instead of being gracious about it, we're just spiking the ball in people's face.
And we have to watch our flank as well. There's people who may be completely on our quote-unquote side, and they're getting spun up over things, and I'm seeing a lot of, you know, oh, this is the control grid, and this is going to happen, and the PayPal mafia, and the digital IDs. Some of that may be very true, but we need to keep our ears and eyes open, eyes and ears and hearts, for all of these reasons, because I know you know my thinking about social media. It is the devil's playground. I pray almost every single day for the Lord to fill the stairwells of these social sites with slop and
dismantle them, make them
unusable and unattractive to use. And in some cases, that I see some evidence of that happening. It's a very human thing, you know. And I think as elders, you know, we are a little more up there. The most important thing you can do is take a young person outside, take them somewhere, take them out of their screens. Go do something, take them to a ball game or anything, as long as it's away from the screen. And that can be your kids, it can be your nephews and nieces. I mean, we need to be pulling people away from these devices, because they are intentionally manufactured and highly tuned to keep you engaged, involved, and on it at all times.
Man, you can go down into the algos and how they're designed to suck you in.
Yeah.
What I do every evening, I love, one of my favorite things at home, after, you know, the day's gone, it's nightfall, it's time to go through our Groundhog Day, get ready for bed routine.
Yes.
Because we always laugh, go,
wax just, on, wax
this
off.
This is so great. Like a perfect coordinated dance. You know, this is such a, yeah. such a
we all do it.
Day.
We do all it. Do it.
It's mm-hmm. all, rhythms are good. Routines are good. But part of my rhythm, my evening, is to take Mr. Chevy outside to do his business one mm-hmm. last time for mm-hmm. the night.
Sure.
And I go out, it's pitch black, it's dark. And we have a what do they call it? No light. What do you call dark sky?
Dark sky.
Dark
yeah.
sky. Yeah, mm-hmm. we have dark sky out in mm-hmm. where I live. And so when you walk outside, I mean, it's like there's a show.
Yes.
Right above my head.
Masterful show.
And I'll walk out, and I don't mind if he's taking his time. Mm-hmm. I'll just stand out there. Now, I've got the blessing of having a massive cross on a hill right across from where I live. Yeah. It's a wedding venue called the Happy H Ranch right across the road from where I live. And so I'm looking up at this massive cross. I'm seeing all kinds of constellations, depending on the moon, you know, what phase we're in. I'm seeing the moon. I'm seeing planets. Mm-hmm. And just for a moment, I get this reality check. And it's almost laughable. Like, whatever I went through that day, if I found myself getting spun up or I got twerked over something or I got hurt, my feelings hurt, you know, whatever, I walk out there and I look up and I go, man, none of that really matters. This is so big.
So I have
That's
the same
the grounding.
I have the same routine.
You
Miss
do your
Phoebe,
walk.
I take Miss Phoebe out and we go out for about 20 minutes at night. And the first thing I do is look up. And I always see Orion's belt.
That's Orion's my favorite. That's my go-to.
Yeah, always. And you can see it moving, of course. You know,
yeah.
What's moving is questionable.
Got the three main yeah. and then the little yeah. sword.
And that's you. And I usually pray. I'm praying out loud. Thank you, God. So look what you painted. And I do mm-hmm. the same thing in the morning, too, because we have a very kind of desolate road. And I'll just take a moment to enjoy God's creativity. You know, and we have, there's like a bull and a white horse who are standing together, and Phoebe, she'll walk up to them and touch noses with them.
Oh my
and
gosh,
I'm like,
that's awesome.
Lord, this, and then I feel the wind blow. I really have learned to just take all of that into, and I hear the bird sing, and I'll wait and I'll see if I can find the bird where it's singing. Like, wow, God, this is amazing. I get this free concert right here. This is just beautiful. And when you can take that in, man, you can take on anything that happens. And this, and yes, you're right. At night, it calms me down, puts me in the right place. We typically won't, you know, we watch old TV shows, and like we're in the middle of Seinfeld right now. We usually won't eat. Maybe we'll watch one more episode, but I'm so easy, calm down. You walk back towards the house. You can see, you know, the bathroom's mm-hmm, light on.
The lights.
And
yeah.
it's people need to take I think this used to be before – the internet actually was kind of a bad thing. It was a great thing, but it was also kind of a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. It can be used for good or for bad.
True.
But all the things we used to do, you know, it's like I used to call and get a busy signal. I mean, I know I sound like a boomer, and I'm only boomer adjacent. I am the face of Generation X. You know, or you'd have to leave a message.
I'm a boomer. I'm officially a boomer.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm there.
You know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
We're on the cusp.
Yeah.
But all these things that, you know, you used to, I remember, like, because, you know, we have three girls, and even though they're 28, almost 30 and 34, you know, how you doing? Check in, text message. Man, my mom used to say, no news is good news. It's like, so if, you know, and you call you call me on Sunday. So, you know, once a week, and they had no idea. They wouldn't have no idea what I was doing. There was no social media to follow, see what I was doing last night. And was that worse? Was it better? You know, it was definitely, I think, we always had the Archie Bunker types, you know, but where was Archie Bunker? In front of the TV, yelling at the TV, you know, so we just have to be careful, and we have to realize God's greatness, especially as you say, at night with, I mean, I've seen the Starlink satellites come over.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. They go in a row, and I'm like, that's pretty interesting, God. Like, and by the way,
the
it's
mix.
Nowhere near your stars. I mean,
in the mix.
Everyone thinks they're going everywhere. Maybe, I don't know, but I'm happy just looking at them and just looking what's happening up there.
Same. I take a breath and I just thank God. I always do my little thing that I always do. I say, good evening, Holy Spirit. Good evening, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Good evening, Abba Father. Mm-hmm. And I just thank him for the day. I was like, yes. Lord, yeah, wow, really, I was a swing and a miss for me on that one. You know, I should have said that. Or I was unusually harsh to Annette. I should not have been, you know, snippy or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, snarky. And so whatever I need to repent of, I mean, I don't like get on my knees and act weird. I just go, Lord, I'm listening. And I do this what's called benevolent detachment, which John Eldridge talks about. Father, I just give everything and everyone to you. I give everyone and everything to you, God. And it's just sort of that pushing back from the table. Mm. You're just taking a, you're pushing away from the table, so you're detaching a little bit. And you're just like, I just give it all to you. I just release it. Yeah. And man, I go to bed at peace. I go to bed peaceful. I've got some night earbuds now. You know, there's always, and it's either brown noise or white noise or whatever. Jade is one of them.
Jade noise.
Jade noise. Right. I didn't even know. It's like another frequency. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I'll find some sleep stuff, you know, I'll just let it just run. Mm-hmm. And man, I sleep well. I just sleep good. I mean, this is the grace of God on all that.
I hope God forgives me, but I go to sleep very quickly. Within like 3 minutes, and I lay down and I'm like, ah, Lord, thank you for this day. And I usually intend to do the Lord's Prayer. I don't get there.
Same.
And I wake up in the morning, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Where was Amen. I? Unpause. Sorry, Lord, I kept you on pause all night, on hold. I know I do the same thing. Or I'll do it in the middle of the night, too. I'll wake up and I'll start to recite it. And 9 times out of 10, I don't even get through the 21-second Lord's Prayer. It's like I can't even make 21 seconds.
Yep,
I mean,
yep.
Or I'll go into the jumble thing where I'm like, what did I just say? I mean, I'm in and out, you know? You know, God's got I hope he has a sense of humor. We're both in trouble. It's going to be bad.
I'm very sure. I see so many things he has a sense of humor.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like we're laughing together. You know, sure. There's just funny things that are quirky and fun. But so you've got a big week coming up. You got some cool stuff happening. Let's talk for a moment about that before we land the plane.
Yeah. So Wednesday, I'm going on Joe Rogan. Now, last time I was on Joe, which was actually the fourth time, I think, was about 2 years ago. Mm. And it's kind of interesting because when I left there, Joe said, when's the last time we had you? About a year ago. He said, I need to have you on every 6 months. And we text back and forth, you know, maybe once every couple of weeks, you know, or I'll hear something on his show. It's usually me initiating, honestly. I'll say, hey, that was pretty good. And sometimes I'll slip in a little God thing because he knows. He knows. And there's always a response. During the inauguration, he was texting me because I saw him sitting there like, oh, Joe. Podcasting's legit, bro. Like, you're at the inauguration. He's sending me American flag emojis and sending me pictures of him with President Trump and the family. And then he says, I got to have you on. I said, as I always, because he said it before, like a year ago, got to have you on. I said, whenever you're ready, Joe. And he said, how about February 12th? I'm like, cool, let's do it. And in all that time in the interim, I was like, well, it's kind of a bummer that he hasn't invited me back. And I just said, you know, God, I'm sure that when it's time, you'll put me back on. And if there was ever a time for me to be back with Joe and to talk about things with him, particularly as the people he's had on his program talking about their faith, talking about Jesus, apologetics, I mean, all this stuff. And I'm not going in there to preach to Joe. I'm going in there just to have a conversation. It'll come up. You know, this is actually very 2 weeks ago. You had the 5 steps talking about
the evangelism.
Yes, and the Ethiopian eunuch who was in the chariot, and I actually went back. You can find it on the Bridge homepage. There's you know, we have this Godcaster thing, and you can click in there. You can go listen to the message again. And I wrote down, you know, it's like five different steps, and like not that I'm you know memorizing that, but like yeah, the conversation will happen. The Holy Spirit will tap me on the shoulder when it's time, and I don't need to. I don't need to be able to recite, skip scripture. I just need to be able to tell my story or whatever the story is of the moment. And there's so much going on because since those 2 years, I've started, you know, believers came into my life and we've started this company called Godcaster. And the whole idea there is to transition radio stations to the online world. But really connecting them with churches who I consider to be content factories because they are, And that's really because I come from radio and it's a good start. And there was an existing client base there to get that started. But what's on my heart is churches. Is churches, you know, it's amazing how many pastors have a podcast, how many different things they don't even know that their clergy, you know, that their spiritual body is doing, all these different things that they can put together. And to really use this beautiful internet for good and to spread the good news through podcasts, which of course I have some expertise in, and whatever else we can bake along with that. And I'm speaking at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference on the 23rd, which is, that's thousands of radio stations, but also a lot of churches come to that. And so I'm very excited about this opportunity that God has given me to put my face out there. People may remember me. Maybe something will be said. I've seen it happen before. I mean, I was pretty much erased from history before Joe Rogan called me 5 years ago. And he recertified me mm-hmm. by saying, hey, you're the guy. You're the guy that started all this. And all of that, God moments, Jimmy, every single thing was just the God moment. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm riding the wave. Show me, you know, just show me where to go. Where are we going? Is that the beach? I'll keep on going. Look out for the other heads in the water. and it's just, it's rolling. So I'm super excited about all of these things. And the anticipation is just whatever comes. You know, I'm ready for everything. So this timing is amazing. And to be able to sit here and actually warm up a little bit with you is greatly appreciated. I have a feeling you probably were thinking about that in the back of your head, like
a little bit, yeah, maybe, letting you bounce some things off.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation.
Yes.
We would do this with the mics off.
Oh, it's the same. It would be no different.
The same.
Yeah, except I interrupted you less this time. I have James has keeps going through my head. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. You know, I have to remind myself. I'm so excited to talk. I got to just listen. Just listen.
Brother, I love that. One of the things that I've said over and over, you've heard me a billion times say, we don't generate the wave, we catch the wave when it comes by.
Amen.
And that's exactly what you're talking about. And that's where we trust God to lead us, to order our steps, to delight in the details of our lives. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, it just takes all this weight off of you.
Yes.
You're not out there trying to pound the pavement, make it go your way, make your own way. Follow your own path, speak your own truth, all that stuff. You're literally resting in a place. Mm-hmm. And that's, if there's anything, you had a restful nature about you when I met you, but I've seen the increase of that.
Oh, yeah.
With the impact of the Holy Spirit and the gospel on your life. You've become gospelized. I mean, this Jesus on you, in you, through you. And I love what Kirk Kamen's, he talks about how we've got to heavenize the world.
Mm.
Got to heavenize.
That's a good term.
That's taking part of the Lord's Prayer where he says, on earth as it is in heaven, mm-hmm. your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's heavenizing earth. But we got to get heavenized first, right?
Yes.
We
yes.
have to be impacted. And so it's been a joy to walk with you on this journey.
Likewise.
And just fun. I mean, I'm sorry. I think God's into fun. I think God's okay with fun. I think it should be fun.
He's sent us some fun places to do some fun things,
kidding.
Man.
We've had a blast. And we've even, I mean, I'm Annette's telling me, oh, and we're going here and we're going there and we're going.
I think we're going to Alaska, last I heard. Yeah.
That's what I found out. Oh, we're going on an Alaskan cruise. All right. I've always wanted to go on one. Might as well go with people I love.
Believe me, at home, I'm like, I don't want that big boat. No, is there a small one? You know, I don't want like the casinos. No, is there something that's a little smaller than that? I'm trying to manage this process. Like,
thank you, brother. I'm just riding the wave, man. Yeah, I didn't generate it. I'm just catching it. So, but that's been such a joy in our lives. And I mean, I love the fact that we could just call each other on Sunday afternoon. You are wasted after your program, your show. I'm wasted after my two.
Let's
go to Freedom.
We can't even pronounce Freedom.
No, let's just go. Let's just show up. We all drag in. And then we're talking. And we're off to the races
again.
But I actually thought about it last night. And Annette was like, are you sure? She just wanted to get in her sweats.
Yeah.
I was like, let's go to Freedom. Let's go talk. Let's see if Adam T want to meet us. And she's like, I just want to put on my sweats. She was wiped out.
Yeah.
So anyway, brother, I love you, man.
I love you too, brother.
This is such a gift that the Lord has brought my way, and I think our way.
Mm.
And the fact that our wives even though they've complicated our lives greatly since they became friends, because you've got a new bedroom, we've got a new kitchen.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I mean, it just doesn't end, and I just laugh now.
They bounce off each other.
I was like, really? Now I just laugh. I was, okay, whatever. We're good.
I do get asked my opinion about things, and you know me. It's like, I have an eye for certain things, but color is not one of them. Color scheme, like, you got to choose the color, babe. I don't know. It's fine.
I jump in on the conversation, and then I suddenly had one of those amazing brain moments. It's called iron ore, I believe. And I found this color for the kitchen cabinets.
Right.
I was like, that's very manly, very masculine. I'm like, oh, yeah, like that.
Iron ore.
Let's do that with a brass handle. So that was my contribution to the whole thing, other than moving things around nonstop. But it's fun, and I just get a kick. Because Annette will go, oh, and by the way, me and Tina are going to Bernie today.
Yeah.
I'll go, okay, what are you going to do?
Well, we are very grateful, and Tina and I talk about this all the time. I mean, it's unbelievably believable that we started our faith journey together, that we come into this church together, although not really together, but you know, as usual, she led the way, which I'm very happy about. But then we came into our friendship together, and Fredericksburg, there's something fantastic taking place here. Everyone who comes here says it. They're like, I'm not quite sure why I wound up here. Now it's like, oh, I just felt like a good place to go. There is something happening here, and you're obviously a very big part of that drive. And I love how you have taught us all and have talked about stepping into culture and how important it is, have helped us understand the origins of our country. I think, is that a Founders Bible?
It is. Yeah.
You know, I'm reading my Founders Bible, and it's like, wow. I mean, this literally happened when we were born, is when Bibles were taken out of school. And this is so that our entire lifetime has been this drift away from our, and maybe that's not for every country, but our country, our formula was built on faith. If you look at the statute to the forefathers, mm-hmm. faith yes. surrounded by morality, by law, by education and liberty, that's our formula. And I think President Trump has understood that. He didn't see it in 2016. He sees it now. And now it's on us. It's on all of us to step out, you know, suit up, as you would say,
yeah.
and get involved with your community. And thank you so much for doing that here. And I think my part of the job is to help spread that out through the means that I have and get more of that out, you know, through the internet. And thank you. I love being on this journey with both of you together, both of us do, and with our church family who are just, you know, before, if I may.
Of course.
You brought me up on the podium yesterday, and it was one of the most moving moments of my life. I was scared first because I really thought you were going to make me sing because
it crossed my mind.
I made such a misstep during worship. And when you said, can we just pray over Adam and for Joe? And you had, and for a moment there, before I closed my eyes, I saw the whole church reaching out and I lost it. It was just, and people were coming up to me later and praying over me. People who I've met maybe or seen and who I don't really know. Oh, I wish everyone could have these experiences, and everybody can. That's the beauty of it. But thank you for doing that. It was just completely unexpected. And it has charged me up. I mean, I feel just, I'm ready for anything and all things, and I'm ready to go. We get to do this.
We get to do this together. You are covered, brother.
Thank you.
I wanted to make sure you were covered, and I'd leaned over to Nett and said, I think I'm going to do something with Adam, you know, either the beginning or the end. And she's mm-hmm. like, what? I said, you'll see. Yeah, so I kept her in the dark about it. But anyway, yeah, it was a privilege to do that. And I thought about the scope of what it means to be on a show like that mm-hmm. and have a platform like that, and just the opportunity for seeds to be sown.
Yeah, that's it. Seeds.
Just mm-hmm. seed dropping. Mm-hmm. And gosh, who knows? You know, when we get to tell our story, whether it's a small platform or large, if someone's listening, their life, the trajectory of their life could be changed.
Oh, and how I have noticed this time and time and time again. I know that you and Dame Minette have seen it with people who listen to Living Up in a Down World. Tina and I with Curry and the Keeper. No Agenda, which just has a longer time, so a bigger audience. There's not a day that doesn't go by that someone says, you know, and it's little things. It's very little things. Mm-hmm. You know, you've changed me. I've gone back to my faith. I'm interested in it.
So tell us a little bit about Curry and the Keeper. I want you to talk about that for a sec because that's kind of what brought us together.
It is. Well, yes, Curry and the Keeper, when Tina and I were first here, we had no friends. For me, I'm like, that's normal. And Tina's like, I have no girlfriends. I have no one to hang out with. And I said, well, while we're getting our feet wet here, why don't we go explore all the wineries and we'll do a podcast. You know, just the two of us will talk about moving to Fredericksburg and we'll rate the wineries and their charcuterie boards. And so around that time, Tina started coming to the Bridge. And so you could, I wouldn't recommend anyone go listen to anything before episode 7 or even episode 7, please. That's because that's where it changed. I mean, it's we're leaving it up because it is history.
It's part of your history,
it was
brother.
Very different, and then it just became our journey together, and we discuss discuss our journey and discuss church, and that is indeed how a friend of Tina's,
Peggy Layden.
That's right. Sent a message to you. Hey, you know, these people are listening. They're talking about you on their podcast, and then you called Tina out in a Connect class. And of course, once I understood really what was going on and I saw all this potential, that's when I said, you know, y'all really should do a podcast and I want to help you get there. And now look at you now. You've got a nicer studio than I do. It's beautiful. It's so
this is
phenomenal.
All Annette right here.
Yeah, there you go.
It's all Dame Annette right here.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
so
it's a privilege.
Yeah. And I love it. I mean, I love that you're expanding this with having guests on. I love the interview with we call her J6er Jenny. That's her. That's her nickname.
Yeah, that was powerful.
And,
strong.
And I know you'll have more people from the community and other interesting people to talk to. Of course, I love listening to you and Dame Annette, mainly because she just takes over.
She does.
And she runs, and she has. I don't think she has any idea how good she really is. It's hard. You know, I have to tell Tina this too. You're really good. You have no idea how good you are. You know, so I may never be able to convince either one of them of that.
We'll do our best.
But they are. They are.
And she will be back.
It's
she
enjoyable will. To listen to.
We're in the home stretch on the Cabinet Project, and it's been a one-year thing.
Yes.
And so we had a lot of hit and miss here.
We've been praying for
back.
You guys with this. It's
and you know
tough.
What? There's peace about it. We've got God brought the right people around us after the company folded underneath us.
Mm-hmm.
Their company just stopped and left us with shards, pieces of cabinets. So God brought the right people. But I love what you're doing with Curry and the Keeper. That was such a joy finding that when Peggy recommended it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand the weirdness about this. I get of all things, a direct message on LinkedIn.
Like whoever looks at that.
I know, right? And I'm like, oh, wait, what's that?
LinkedIn?
Well, I've never had a direct message on LinkedIn before. And it was Peggy and just introducing herself. Hey, I live in Chicago, blah, blah, blah. These people, and that's how that first contact happened, and I listened to your podcast and Curry and the Keeper, and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. A little edgy, but man, they're awesome.
A little edgy.
You know, can I recommend this to the church yet?
You know, not yet.
To myself. But so enjoyed it, and y'all were. And Tina would come to the. You were prepping for No Agenda at that point,
watching it on
watching
online.
It. Tina would attend the first service. Mm-hmm. For weeks and weeks, I just saw this nice lady there, but I was like, oh, she's a church widow.
Oh, you know what really?
Church widows are?
No.
Church widows are.
Oh, a husband is
the
not.
The husband is non involved, but the ladies show up. And so every church has church widows.
I'm
so
sure.
I thought, oh, she's
I'm
a church widow. I'll feel bad for her. You know, hope her husband's a nice guy. You know, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
You know, you feel bad for people.
I never heard that. That's
it's a thing. That. So, but I just saw her enthusiasm in worship. And I just remember, because I was playing guitar on the team at that time.
Yeah.
So I was right there in front of it. And I would always go, man, that that girl, that lady loves Jesus.
She does.
She loves the Lord. Tears running down her.
Oh, she was crying for weeks during worship.
Yep. It was beautiful. And I thought, wow, there's something there. Mm. I just noticed those things. I mean, you and I, in the world that we're in, we're noticers. We notice things. Yes. And so I'd noticed that. And I saw a beautiful spirit in there before I ever had a conversation with her.
Yeah.
And then when I called her over at that meeting and just said hi to her, and then her and Annette, once they connected, it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I just got out of the way. I'm like, y'all talk. I'm going to go
do something. I love watching my wife worship. I mean, I've kind of gotten full myself. You know, I'm like, if anyone who has been to Bridge Church, you're like, I can't see who's that tall guy with his arms in the air. I'm sorry, that's me. But I can see her sometimes. I'm just like, wow, she is so... She loves Jesus.
That's what got
me
with Annette.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
First little date. We were at church on a Sunday evening back when that was a thing, and the worship was going on. I looked over. I saw a tear coming down her cheek and her hand, and just I was like, I'm done. I mean, I was cooked after that.
Wow.
Like the rest of it, we'll work out the details. I just know that's a beautiful spirit right there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Well, brother, thanks for being on today.
Thank you. I love this.
I've been wanting to do this a long time.
We need to do more things about God, the world, and other things in the future, and about Fredericksburg.
Absolutely.
Because this is, there's so much happening with Harvest Project Texas, which our brother Trey Blocker is putting together.
Good stuff.
And and lots of people are getting involved with that. We want to bring a lot more Jesus and Christ back to Fredericksburg.
We've got the Patriot Academy here with the Green family.
That's
Rick
right.
Green. We've got Jenny and her husband Doug doing the J6ers Road Home. I mean, there are amazing big things happening here.
Yes.
In this little town.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are not this, it's like a town without walls. You know, there's no boundaries or
correct.
Borders here.
Yeah.
So it's more of a hub where people come in and connect, but then they're doing big things out in the world and all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to be a part of it and in some ways maybe fuel the fire, you know, be part of the engine of it and driver. And man, what a time to be alive. Why would I ever want to retire?
I hear you. No, we have way too much to do.
I'm a Caleb spirit. I'm not stopping.
Yes.
All right, brother. Listen, we're going to land the plane today.
All right.
There's always more to do. There's always more to talk about, right?
Well, I look forward to doing that soon.
Production flub.
That's all right.
Podfather. Wrong button.
Thank you, brother. I love you.
Brother, I love you, man. All right. It's going to be a good week.
It's going to be great.
We get to do this.
We get to do this.
All right, friends. Have an amazing day on purpose. Go to livingupinadownworld.com and check out the daily devotionals on there. And check out hellofred.fm for some amazing material that we talked about today. We love you guys. Bye-bye.